of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. That's the way. I like it. The Sounders win 5-0 against Montreal, CF Montreal, last Saturday. We are recording on April 10th. And when I say we, I mean me, Aaron Lingley, and your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and the Independent Supporters Council's Director of Communications, Cameron Collins. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going?
How'd I do? That was pretty good.
That was perfect. This episode is brought to you by Dude Wipes Mint Chill. Wipe your nasty butt, dudes. That should be their slogan.
Flushable, by the way. There's no such thing as flushable wipes.
That's true. Although,
not only is it disgusting, it's disgusting. Don't do it.
As someone with Crohn's disease, I do occasionally use those, but those are from, I bought those at the airport so that I could wipe down my seat before I got on a plane because I still live in, I'm scared of COVID mode.
Yeah. Well, speaking of planes, I'm in Arlington, Texas. I'm in Jerry's World.
Yeah.
I literally can see there's AT&T Stadium right there.
Were you there for AT&T the Dallas, Stadium. Dallas FC game?
They're in Frisco.
That's right down the road. Not like it's very far. Yeah, it's just up north.
I didn't think to look, but I'm here at a conference. I work in the hotel industry, and I'm in the hotel that has the conference. So I have barely left, other than the sports bar across the way, to get some dinner. By the way, everything fucking is big in Texas. It's like an IMAX theater of sports bars across the street. They pump in stadium sound. So the Texas Rangers are in town. They were playing Houston, actually, in the first 2 days I was here. When I would leave, like, the conference and then schmoozing, right? So it's over around 5, schmoozing for an hour and a half, and then I went to go get myself some food. So around baseball time, 7 o'clock. And last night, they were playing the A's. They're playing the A's again tonight. And then 2 days ago and the day before that, when I arrived, they were playing Houston, which, as you can imagine, Houston versus Texas is
big game.
A big game. Especially, I mean, divisional, whatever. They play all the time. But
AL West is pretty crazy right now so far this season.
Yeah. No, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it was like I'm not a sports bar with just TV sound. It was legitimately the stadium, because they're adjacent to it. They're pumping in the sound from the stadium with the radio broadcast. So, man, I was like, man, if we had anything like this in Pioneer Square, it'd be fucking awesome. It's probably about a 40-foot TV. And I say TV because it's TV, it's not projection. Surrounded by other LEDs.
Is 40 feet.
40 feet. Yes, it's like this thing's huge.
Stadium, wow.
Yeah, and then surrounded by other LEDs that can divide into bigger screens or smaller, just like the way like T-Mobile screen is, right? It's one screen, but they can make it look like.
And the new one, anyway. You haven't been, but the new one at Lumen Field where the Sounders play, it wasn't in use yet because it was under construction last week and it must not be ready, but they have a brand new big screen that's much wider than the old one.
On the south end?
Yep. So I'm sure it'll be active soon. Hopefully in a couple, next home game on the 20th. 420, bro. It's not as big it's not as big as Jerry's World one, but my dad made a comment about that, actually, being like, it's just like Jerry's screen.
Well, anyway, I'm in a different planet down here. Speaking of different planets, I was here for the eclipse.
Oh, did you get to see it?
Totality, baby.
Oh, yeah. You didn't stare directly at it, did you?
You can stare directly out at it during totality because the sun is covered, right? Yeah. Hence totality. Absolutely incredible. We had the special glasses on, 3D glasses. They look like 3D glasses. They're not, obviously, because the world is in 3D. But yeah, no, it was a good 30-minute like network reception day one of the conference. So they did it out on the lawn, and like totality crossed Arlington to like through Ohio, yada yada, and total coincidence. And I was super stoked about it because I'm a space nerd.
Yeah,
like Neil deGrasse Tyson's my guy. Star Talk, yes please. And yeah, I loved it. It is literally a once in a lifetime. I mean, you can fly around to go find them. Like yeah, every like 20 years or so.
Did you see it when it was here in 2017?
No, I didn't. We didn't have totality in 2017.
It was one of those once in a lifetime things. I don't remember exactly what it was. Seattle wasn't very big. In Portland, it went pitch black though. Like here, it got darker, and you could use the glasses. Like even it was pretty cool. Like. The reflection through the leaves had it, so there was tons of little. You could see like part sun, part moon, on the ground in reflections and stuff. It was awesome. But in Portland, they had totality, where it went. It was like it was night. I was up here, but you know, my partner at the time was down there, so pretty cool.
Huh? Yeah. No, I don't know why I don't remember that. I don't feel like it was this one, but. Maybe people can clarify what happened in 2017 versus now in our Discord.
Yeah, yeah.
Link in the show description. Tell us we're wrong.
Go down there and solar eclipse, August 21st, 2017, dubbed the Great American Eclipse by some in the media, was a total solar eclipse visible within a band that spanned ... The reason why most people remember it and the thing that was spreading all over social media this time was because Donald Trump looked at it without his glasses on at a time when you are not supposed to. Speaking of which, I'm thirsty. Ooh.
Speaking of which, I'm thirsty.
A little bit of diet soda in the form of Coca-Cola Zero because I need caffeine to break through my hangover. Ooh.
And everyone listening is like, wait, Cameron's hungover? He normally just drinks Liquid Death or some sort of soda.
Yeah.
What happened to you last night?
Ooh, I went up once I finished my work for the day, kind of totally randomly, I went up to Whidbey Island with my lady friend, I guess you would call her. My situationship, I don't know. And we went around, we had some fancy seafood place in Langley, which is funny since I'm vegan. So she enjoyed all that they had to offer in terms of seafood. And I had a salad and French fries, but I'm used to that. And then we went to this speakeasy that is a hidden bar behind a knitting shop, like where you would go buy yarn and stuff. And you go in, and it's like you can only get three drinks. You can only it's like you can only be there for 2 hours, 2 hour limit, three drinks, and you gotta go. So it was pretty empty last night, actually. But they had a guest bartender who we chatted a long time with, and he made some very strong drinks. So my trip to Whidbey was. A lot, but got the ferry back this morning and immediately came home, took a shower, and went to bed again. Yeah, I'm hungover.
Where in Whidbey was the speakeasy?
In Clinton,
like Greenville,
right,
or
in Clinton, right at the where you get off. Right when you get on the.
You said Langley, right?
Yeah, we started in Coopville, then went to Langley. Coopville's cool, but everything closes so early there. It closes between 5 and 5:30, and we didn't even get out there until like 4:30, so didn't have much time. But nice little island communities. I forget. I mean, you're an island person, so you probably understand this about islands. I forget these islands aren't just one entity. Like, I was like, yeah, it's Whidbey Island. We're going to Whidbey Island, Washington. I forget that there's Langley and Coopville and Clinton and you know, probably 10 okay. other towns there. I just, in my brain, it's just all Whidbey.
No. Well, Whidbey's kind of unique because it's so huge from yeah. at least like a north to south perspective, right? It, obviously, it's got a unique shoreline. It, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like super wormy. it's not a very expansive island. It's a very long.
Yeah, and Kameno's similar, but smaller and thinner.
Yeah, but you got Oak Harbor. You got the yeah. Air Force up there too by Oak Harbor.
Yeah, once when I was a kid, I was at Whidbey Island's military base there, a barracks that was no longer in use, and I fell off the top bunk when I was asleep and woke up by landing on my head. So I was asleep, and the next thing I knew, I was on the ground in extraordinary pain. That was my
wake you up.
Yeah, I'd been to Whidbey other times, but that's my most enduring memory of Whidbey. For sure. But yeah, we stayed in a tiny house, just in Clinton, just like you had to know where it was basically, cause it's a random turn off the freeway that you're going to miss otherwise. And there was a little tiny house up there and fire pit. And it was a pretty cool little, adventure because it was nice out. It wasn't, rainy, so a little cold, but
yeah,
it was good.
I think if, you know, long time listeners, the last like year will remember that. I don't know if we recorded while I was in Whidbey for Randy's birthday, my wife. But we went to Whidbey Island just on the coast, on the, like, looking straight across the Strait of Juan de Fuca. We were basically outside of Oak Harbor mm-hmm. in the middle part.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm born and raised in this neck of the woods. I love my mountains. I love my water. I love my views. And, yeah, we had the same thing. Just kind of big lawn, fire pit, hot tub, ooh. Sunset. I could see Victoria's lights. I was like, oh, this is the life.
I want to go
glass
there.
Of wine. Thank you very much. And also driving across Deception Pass, that whole area is like super, super cool. I mean, we live in such an amazing part of the world.
Yeah, that's one thing. I don't leave the city a lot. And I know we have listeners from all over the Puget Sound region and beyond. But if you leave the city, which I've been doing more of late, but there's so much beautifulness. There's so much beautifulness around. I mean, just locally. And then you think about, you know, I've been driving a lot in the last few years to Eastern Washington or Idaho. And just, we're so lucky to live in a region like this with so much different nature, natural aspects. Think about it. Like, I'm going to go to the Gorge this summer. And I was just thinking about how lucky are we to have a venue that's on the Columbia River where the sun will set behind it while I'm listening to Willie Nelson. Like, that's going to be amazing.
Are you going to see Willie?
Yeah, he's coming through. He's coming to Seattle, but tickets are like $180 for the top row at Safeco, T-Mobile.
I think he's in T-Mobile with Chris Stapleton.
That's why. And I don't care about
Chris Stapleton. Like, really? Cause I don't like country. But I like Chris Stapleton. He's, I mean, I don't have I don't like albums or anything like that. Oh, he's just got a pretty unique voice, even for country. But anyway.
But Willie Nelson, on the other hand, is, you know, he's 92, 91, not a lot of time left on this earth. And he's put out 75 albums. His newest one was the first one in 55 years where he hasn't used his guitar. Of course, I'm hungover, so I'm going to forget it. But, you know, his guitar that's named after a horse. So it's pretty
amazing. Seattle Slew.
Yeah, his horse guitar, Seattle Slew. But Trigger. It's called Trigger. You know, my dad grew up in Eastern Washington, country boy, during the 40s. And so he grew up in the 50s. He grew up like contemporary to a little bit behind Willie Nelson. So he got me into Willie Nelson by listening to it all the time in the car as a kid. So that's why I'm into it. And wow, I can't wait to get out to the Gorge and see that.
No, that'd be good. And mad respect to Willie Nelson, 92. Damn.
Yeah, he's old. So do you watch any soccer while you were away? Oh, you didn't leave until the game.
On Sunday.
Yeah, so the game had already passed. But you got a brand new television.
Let's talk about it.
A 4K television. Wait, were you rocking 1080 before? I know. Look at you. 65 inches, the same size as the one I have in my bedroom. So you get your face got all sad. It's because my living room space only has room for 55-inch screen TV. So when I moved here, I had to move my 65 up.
No, let's talk about your TV.
Your TV is nicer than mine because mine is like a 2014 Vizio. Yours is a 2024 Samsung rocking it. So huge upgrade for you considering
OLED. Yes, I mean my upgrade, and again, we've mentioned this in the past on the show, but I bought a LED Samsung 45-inch in 2009 for like $3,000, and it was and it has been fucking flawless for what it is, relatively speaking. For what now? Jesus, 15 years. And you come over to my house, and unless you look at the TV and be like, what kind of TV is that? You wouldn't notice that it was 15 years old. It's half an inch thick. I mean, I spent $3,000 on it in 2009. And, you know, you spend a lot of money on something, it better last. And it has. But we've saved up money. We've been frugal in certain parts of our life. And obviously, you know, other than daycare, we're always at home, so we're not spending a lot of money. Money goes to daycare and groceries, basically.
Yeah.
So we saved up.
Anywhere with the crying baby.
Exactly, and that was part of the reason. Is like, hey, I got 2 months ahead of me. I used a month of my leave, my Washington leave, initially when the new baby came, and that's where the conversation really got going with my wife, and she's at home for another month and a half, and I was like, we need to make life a little bit more comfortable for us. And I'm like, let me go shopping at Costco. Let me find the right TV. We got money saved up. Let's do it. And she agreed. And we pulled the trigger, pulled the Willie Nelson, the Seattle Slu. And yeah, I sent you a picture of it in the back of my car, all the seats down, the width of my Outback. I was like, let's go. And oh my God.
And you said,
yeah, of course. Costco.
For listeners that don't know, Costco's the best place to buy a TV. I didn't get my last one there because they had such an amazing deal on Amazon that I ended up buying it there. But Costco, if your TV breaks, will send someone out to fix it for you if it's within the warranty. You don't need to go through Samsung. You can go through Costco. And I had that happen.
2 years of that.
Actually, the TV in my bedroom when I first had it, that happened. And it's freaking amazing. Like, those are things people don't realize, but it's such a good deal.
And, you know, support local, Kirkland Signature. But anyway, yeah, set that puppy up, cracked a beer as I was setting it up. And this is on Saturday when I was doing it. My mother-in-law had just arrived because she came in day before I left for my conference, and she leaves the day after I get back. Love her for coming because there's no way I'd be here if she wasn't able to be there, obviously.
I mean, it's perfect, though, because then you don't have to see her. You can just be like, hey, mother-in-law, come and leave.
The only thing about this mother-in-law that's annoying is the way she chews, which is very slappy. I don't know if it's like she doesn't have dentures. I think she has what do you call it when you get a bunch of fake teeth, but they're like drilled into your mouth? Veneers. She's got those. Also, she loves her powdered tea in a plastic water bottle that could be years old. And I'm talking like a Dasani water bottle. I'm like, there's carcinogens.
Yeah, that's a single use container. You could refill it once, but it's going to start getting skeezy.
Yeah, tell a boomer that it's single use. I'm like, it still holds the water, but she just shakes it up like every like 3 hours. You just hear shaking in the house, and like of water sloshing around. It's not her mouth, it's the bottle. Anyway, brand new TV, 4K, OLED, and I got to watch F1.
Mm.
Got to watch the Mariners.
Yeah.
And then, what streams on 4K? MLS Season Pass.
Yeah. You I'm assuming the Samsung app has it built in.
And that's thing. Another revelation to my world. I've been using a Fire Stick.
Oh, ha. Yeah.
And I don't have to.
Yeah. And I think they've
all the apps are there.
Samsung what do you call that? OS. Like on my Samsung, I have a Samsung TV in my office and it's a little slow in terms of getting it together, but it has every app you can think of. I mean, it even has the Xfinity app, so I can you got a dog in your background? There's somebody talking behind you. Are you alone in your room? Listeners, let me tell you what's going on. Aaron is sitting at his computer and there's people talking in what I think is Spanish behind him in his room, but I don't see anyone.
No one's in my room.
He's being very quiet, and I think maybe he's about to get killed by whoever's in his room.
What is that?
This is a very strange moment.
It's so weird.
Sounder Scuttlebutt history.
Getting hacked. Can't wait to edit this and see if this actually came through, the audio.
I mean, I can hear it, so it has to have come through. So, yes, listeners, I think we may have lost Aaron. This may be his final show.
You can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think I've been watching too much CSI.
That is so weird. It was like we got hacked for a second. I'm on a hotel internet. I could be sharing.
That is so strange.
It's gone now, though, right?
Yeah, there's just random people talking.
I think it was Spanish for hurry up and talk about the Sounders is what.
Okay. Well then let's run with that, because you know what? You have an amazing TV, and on that amazing TV in 4K for the first time in your life on a TV. Now you've watched it in 4K on your computer before, but for the first time in your life on a TV, you watched the Sounders, and what a game to choose to do that.
5-0. Super cathartic.
Yeah.
We needed that.
I mean, I feel like I texted you during the game, we're geniuses. And I feel like we obviously didn't call the score, but it was because we were skeptical that our team was going to score. But everything we said about what players are playing well, like the impact that Rusnak and Atencio have on the game, like Rui Diaz being – everyone's complaining about Rui Diaz. But Rui Diaz being awesome – and just not having the service, like all of that proved right. Like, wow. Yeah.
Cody Baker,
just a revelation. As soon as knew who went down and they brought it, that was quick, like 15 minutes into the game, 16 minutes into the game. Cody Baker comes on and gives such a different vibe from Nuhu. I mean, Nuhu's more goal dangerous. We saw him three times in the 15 minutes he was in there.
I wouldn't say goal dangerous.
He's more attacking dangerous. He's not scoring, but...
That could be another conversation for another day. I would totally disagree with that. I feel like he actually disrupts the attack. I feel like he does shut down all of their flank attacking.
I agree. I think he himself, though, is more likely to score a goal, even though he only has one, than Cody Baker. However, Cody Baker changed the game. Cody Baker came in and immediately made us start scoring goals. Like, it was – you saw the ball moved in a way that we've only seen one other game. Well, I guess two. L.A. last week. And then the one where we had De La Vega come in and just completely light up the field. So – last time you were a little upset and thought the Sounders are washed. And I was like, no, look, I saw something cool. And speaking of cold, the Rocky Mountains have Coors Light.
Good transition.
Bust that open.
My visual hint.
Got to get that beer in.
I want to open the beer because I had already been drinking when we started recording this. But yes, I want to crack this open. And also, before we get too deep into actually the game and everything like that, we should get into our traditional scuttlebutt.
Let's do some scuttlebutt.
Right? So
yeah, open
let me
that
crack beer. This open. That's solid. Mountain Stream Blue when it's 42. Yeah, I'm drinking a Coors Light. Sorry, you snobs. I'm in Texas. They don't have craft beer at the 7-Eleven, which is 18 minutes away, the only convenience store near me. Otherwise, it was room service beer. But 16 ounces, let's go. The one scuttlebutt I do want to bring up. This is actually from a tweet I saw from Nico Moreno. We know and we love him in Pulso Sports. He asked Brian Schmetzer about an article from The Athletic. And The Athletic, let me open this up. This is from, you know, I'm not going to give them any citations. You guys can find it. You've probably heard about it. Mark Kastner, we all know him as well, locally.
Mark Kastner wrote
highlighted. There? No, no, no. He highlighted the quote in question from this. So let me just read it real quick.
Yes, please.
And then in the show description, I have a link to Nico's tweet, which has the video of him asking Brian, which also is a repost, a retweet, or re-X, I don't know what we're supposed to say anymore, of Mark Kastner sharing this quote, right? So hopefully that makes sense. Seattle's CCC title, the first by an MLS side in the tournament's modern history, was touted by many league and club executives as the dawning of a new era. One in which MLS had finally cracked the decades-long continental dominance of Mexican clubs. In truth, that was far from the case. Seattle's path to the final was an easy one, and it takes far more than one title to erase years and years of history. MLS went back to its losing ways in 2023. This year, two of the league's better sides, the Philadelphia Union and the New England Revolution, weird to read that, were entirely dismantled by Mexican clubs. So, Seattle's path to its CCL title, but CCC title now, was an easy one. What? We were undefeated. We did not lose a match on aggregate, all from match one to lifting that fucking trophy. Bullshit. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it ignores the fact that those were not the only two teams we played. We played some good teams, including in the final, and we didn't just beat Leon. We just, I mean, at least the home leg destroyed them. So, I mean, it's silly. There's lots of times. Tom Brady had an easy path to the Super Bowl every time, which is the only reason he has a ton of rings, and that's the reason why he's not the GOAT, because if Aaron Rodgers had that, we consider him the GOAT as much as he's a douchebag. Like, they had a couple easiest matches, but they had to get there. Like, we went in, dismantled New York City FC. And win a game that we were not expecting. I think, didn't they win the championship that year against Portland? Like, that was a good team. And then we went on to beat Lyon. Like, no, I think that's silly because it ignores the actual tournament just because we had to play an MLS team. So they're basically saying if you don't play Mexican teams the whole way through, you have an easy path.
Yeah, NYCFC won in 2021, December. So they're about a year.
Oh, so they were just removed from it. It was the campaign
after. Year plus removed. Yeah, that yeah, caught my eyebrow for a second. But
6 months. Yeah.
But they were a quality. They were a quality opponent.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely. And
Pumas, quality and opponent. Pumas,
yeah, like we
travel, just traveling, quality opponent.
And it's not like it was a single game. It was home and away. So we had to travel to Mexico and come back and win, and did it. Like our match down there was crazy. It was such a good. It felt like we had blown it until it was near the end. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I remember near the end it was saved. Because I was
hosting a 2-2 draw.
Yeah,
right.
That seems right. And I was hosting the KGR, the pregame and postgame show, and halftime show was at that place on Capitol Hill. That's German.
Ryan House.
Yep, used to be called Von Trapp's. Ryan House. There you go.
Ryan House.
And so I was there hosting it for the Sounders. Like everyone got a free beer, and it was such a cool experience. And then to come home and win it, I think I'm usually like if we had an easy path, I would admit that. I don't mind because I want an easy path. Like the time Colorado, the final game of the season, when Colorado won their championship, the final game of the season, their goalie gave in two goals at the end that allowed them to go through the Eastern Conference. It was back in the day where the top four went and then you had the next two best. And the Sounders would have had that easy path to the championship. But they didn't get it because Colorado's lost. And then they got it and won. So, yeah, I don't think it was an easy path. And I think that's a stupid argument that whoever is writing it is using to downplay the
MLS. I'll tell you who wrote it. Yeah. Wow, I'm surprised a little bit. Co-wrote, I don't know who Felipe Cardenas is, but we know Pablo Maurer.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by that because I've considered him at least, you know, he knows the game.
Right. And I think
Inter-Miami, Columbus Champions Cup game makes this MLS most important week in a while. Nearly 30 years in, MLS Major League Soccer is still as much an idea as it is a league.
Now, I would argue that Inter-Miami versus Columbus, if Miami hadn't beaten some good teams on the way there, but still, that's kind of a letdown. Is this the final? I stopped paying attention, to be honest, since we're not in it.
It's not. No, it's not.
Okay. It's not. So I know that early on, because we were watching games live on the show, we had Mexican teams just destroying MLS teams. This seems like an easier path in that regards. Quickly shifting, if that's all right, let's talk about the fact that it just came out that roster rules are going to be changed in the MLS. It's a good start, but it's not enough. Apparently, it's been leaked that the Board of Governors agreed to allow more flexibility in numbers of DP and youth DPs as long as they fit within certain dollar ramifications. I'm not sure. They didn't say what. And then there was some other expansive things they did. They did not, though. They were going to make it easier to sign longtime veterans of the team. So if you've been on a team for a long time, you basically get a hometown discount.
So there'll be VAM for veterans, YAM for youth,
yep.
DAM for designated player.
Yeah, but
We're going to have a bunch of AMs.
I think it's a step in the right direction. Of course, anytime anyone sees Messi, they start whining about, oh, it's just so Messi, blah, blah, blah. Well, we know that everything that Miami did was above board because they traded for Tam and Gam and whatever else to be able to bring in players and sign players and sign down players from DP level. That's what I think we need more of. And so if that ends up happening, we need more Tam level players. We need anyone who's not a DP to be a Tam level in the starting 11, in my opinion. Because then
I agree with that.
Everyone below that is going to be a quality MLS, current MLS style starter. And then you have the ability to play in the CONCACAF Champions Cup / US Open Cup / Leagues Cup or whatever. Then we're not worried about it because you have a quality roster top to bottom.
Yeah, especially with the ability to have your MLS. Was it MLS Next?
Yeah.
Right? Defiance is MLS Next.
Yeah.
To be able to bring someone up when needed to get their minutes, but also get their exposure and they're in the system, right? So you have depth that's below the hole, so to speak. I don't even know what kind of analogy I just said there. Just trying to be scuttlebutty.
Kind of like an iceberg. We only see the tip of the iceberg, but there's a lot of depth underneath it that you need to worry about.
Sure. We'll go with that too. But yeah, I feel like that's the way. Tam, for whatever the hell that is, I generally know what that is, but that is the level of player, the Gustav Svenssons, that we need on MLS starting 11 rosters.
Yep. It's Rusnak. I mean, he's taking up a DP slot, but that's because they paid down someone else's contract that was more valuable. But essentially, we already had three DPs when Rusnak came in. So Rusnak is a TAM-level player. And that's the thing I think people get caught up to. Well, this player's a DP. Yeah, maybe. They're on a DP contract, but that doesn't mean that they're not, you know, contract-wise, they haven't been paid down to a TAM and vice versa. I mean, that's Ozzie Alonso, you know, major portions of his career. I think you could argue he was a DP for some of it, but because of his position, he's not getting paid that. You're exactly right. That's, you know, very astute of you, dude. God, we are so smart. That's all I could think this weekend is how we called exactly what needed to happen, and then it all happened, and then we won 5-0. And I was like, we truly are, like, next level here.
And you know what? Yours truly, game-winning assist in Pub League this weekend.
Oh, no way. That's
yes, awesome. Yes, yes. To Harry, he's like the Messi of our league, in my opinion. And my coach, Nicholas Biella, was on the field at the same time.
Wow, giving up goals.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's just all around a good soccer weekend for me and for us. Do you have any other – I don't want to talk about roster rules so much anymore.
No,
because
no, I think just
– I don't understand them, and now there's more of them. So
I just wanted to make clear –
I'm happy to hear. That's positive trajectory.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We positive trajectory.
Weeds. Did we get any scuttlebutt from our community at all?
Didn't even ask you listeners. I'm so sorry. So I'm at a conference. Didn't know if we were going to record.
Right.
You're going to a gala tonight.
I am for Velocity.
Every time I hear gala, I just feel like you're like Cinderella going somewhere.
We didn't even have a chance
to review.
I think we had some comments at the end of last time, though, that could be relevant to thoughts that we might have surrounding stuff in terms of let's see. Oh, that's a bummer. I just saw in the mailbag that Tacoma Stars got beat by Chihuahua, losing the away match, forcing a third match and mini game, and they lost, so they're out. That's too bad. We had been enjoying the little playoff run of our Tacoma Stars. But post-match, we had people say, Muffin Top Model, that felt cathartic. Like watching pimple popping videos. we're exercising all the demons. Let's see what happens next week before I'm back in 100. People love Baker's passing. People were very excited about Baker stepping in for Nuhu, because they said Nuhu's going to lose his spot. So shout out to C97 with those comments. Red card city, got a red card, and basically those last two goals were like FIFA on, EAFC on beginner mode, where you just bring it up to the touchline and then just pass it across the box to someone who's just standing there. It was an exciting game, and I know our listeners enjoyed it. I think I don't like watching pimple popping videos, but I understand what he means there, and I think that's an accurate description.
Now, there are people, my wife does like watching those, and I cannot. I absolutely cannot. And I grew up, I was an acne victim in high school.
Yeah, in high school, I'm an acne victim now. I thought acne was only for when you were in high school. I still get big old pimples.
I don't get them anymore. Mine were more the deep-seated like ones where my skin just kind of looked kind of slightly irritated. And there's like a bump, but it didn't look like a blackhead or a pimple. But then I went to like the dermatologist and they brought out the tools and like I peed myself and then realized how much pus was in my face. Like it was terrible. Anyway, maybe I'm just shocked by it or PTSD. But anyway, I get what you're saying, Tim, but I can't personally relate. But yeah, no, it was exactly what we needed. It was exactly what we needed. It was everything we've been asking for, everything we expected of this team. And what did I say last week? That we are not a bad team, we're just in a bad spot, right? And we just needed the levee to break for a second. And you'd think that teams like San Jose or whatever would be teams that we could... Didn't we play Austin as well?
That's a good question. I don't even remember.
We played some shitty teams, I feel like.
Yeah, I think we might have played Austin at home, maybe. Early on, yeah, because I remember our first game, I remember talking about Driussi being out, and then he had the game-winning goal this past weekend.
Yeah. I feel like we should have had moments, had wins in those matches.
Oh, yeah.
Montreal seemed more of the way we've been playing and the way they've been playing, more of a draw. But we were at home, and it just seems like we pulled our britches up. Maybe it was we've had some consistency a little bit now, even though this isn't our ideal 11, but we've had consistency of players being on the field together to know where to pass the ball without having to lift their head up and stare and look them in the eye and be like, now you're open and I'll pass. They've just anticipated and delivered. And that happened in this match. And even with the red card, which happened in the 53rd minute, we were already up 2-0 at that point.
Yeah, and it could have easily been.
Actually, no. Rudy Diaz had a penalty. So 3-0. Yeah. So this was already a game in hand at that point. And then Alex rolled on in the 81st. And then Dylan Tevez.
Yeah.
Let's go, kid.
Raul was so excited when he scored, ran over and gave him a huge hug.
By the way, I don't think he needs a beard right now.
I mean, he's got to be like 22, 23 now.
Maybe it's because I can't grow one. But while you are a youth, enjoy it. Don't try to look older. or at least go to the barbershop in Long Acres and get it lined up a little bit better. But anyway, good for you, Tevez. And the 90 plus 7, by the way. Incredible match. So fun to watch in 4K on 65 inches. Yeah. I wish I was there. Obviously, it wouldn't have made sense for me to be there and then travel the next day on a conference, but I enjoyed it on my TV. And you were there, right?
Yeah, I was there, and a little sketchy getting set up, little wet, but I don't know if you could see it on the TV. It was really coming down early on in that game, and just they had a lot of images of Raul with just rain soaking him. Boy, I was like, he looks so majestic. He's our great leader.
Yeah, no, I saw. I mean, I can't. Unless it's affecting the pitch, it doesn't really look like much on TV, even in 4K. They're already sweaty, wet people anyway. And
true.
And I mean, especially with turf, I feel like we wet down the turf anyway, so the ball seems to move pretty quickly, regardless of the rain.
But yeah, it drained.
It didn't seem to affect the game, or at least our game.
No, I think it was more it affected in terms of how not ball movement as much as like the player. Like I just feel like when you're out running in the rain, it just feels different than if it's a cold day or a sunny day or whatever. But yeah, we played in it last week in LA, the week before in San Jose. It's a lot of rainy games in a row, so we'd been used to it.
That is pretty nuts. That LA, San Jose, and then obviously Philadelphia, which got rescheduled, are not Seattle matches.
Yeah.
And it was raining.
Yeah.
And then we come back home, and of course it's raining. But we dominated. I mean, we had 57% of the possession, 23 shots to their 6, 12 shots on goal to their 2, 9 shots blocked to their 0 because they didn't have enough shots. 685 total passes to their 453. This one stands out to me. 86.7% passing accuracy. Considering we were very downhill that match, like we weren't just playing in the back.
No.
Obviously, 5-0. You have to be on the other side of the field to do that. That is what I'm talking about. Downhill, decisive passing. And we completed that at 87%. That's fantastic.
I'd be curious, and I did not go back and look at this, but I was thinking about this at some point during the game. You know, a lot of people in our Discord and Sounders fans in general complain about the fact that we go down the wings and then pass it into the box and nothing happens. But I feel like that's still the game we were playing, and when it works for us, it works. You know, that's our game. Like, there are times we came through the middle where, but that wasn't what made us dangerous in those instances. It was coming over the wing and then the ball being passed into the middle. We did see more passes amongst those players, though, amongst Jordan and Rui Diaz and Rusnak right there trying to give stuff at the top of the box. And I feel like when you're watching it, you're like, what are they doing? There's not enough room to shoot there. But on the field, there's that, you just need that little bit of space to get that ball through. And we saw time and time again, shoot it and try to score a goal. And was that Rui Diaz goal really deflected? Like, I've watched that replay a million.
I've yet to see a clear, I know, when it first happened, I assumed it was the way it kind of dropped right over.
Yeah.
The keeper, right? You just kind of have to assume that. I have yet to see anything that's clearly showing that it was.
Yeah. And I went like, the ball moves in such a way that, yeah, I guess you could think it was for sure. But I don't, every time I watch that replay, and maybe it's because they don't have slow motion slow enough for us to see it. It doesn't look like it goes off the guy's foot. It just looks like it goes straight over the top.
Yeah. It was close. And also, it was close. It won goal of the week. So then we have the entire nation saying that that was a great goal. Which I don't think it would win goal of the week if it was clearly deflected.
Right.
But also that's not the determining factor here. My point is, we've seen enough Rui Diaz goals that were even more freakier than that one. Right?
I mean, it reminded me of Oba's goal against San Jose. That was obviously much closer.
Yep.
But being against a blue team also didn't help. But
on Bush.
Yeah, that was the one of the few games I missed because I was in the emergency room very sick, but my intestines blocked by popcorn that I'd eaten at the Godzilla film. But
Jesus, Cameron. That's a Cameron thing.
Yeah, I get Crohn's disease. It happens. It reminded me immediately of that, even though it was way further out. The way it went over his head and just went down in it, it was so – that moment to me, it felt like the entire Sounders team took a deep breath and went, ha ha, okay, we got it.
We're fine.
We know what to do now.
Not only are we fine, he's fine, right? Raul Rui Diaz has been playing exactly as we need him to this entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And I say entire season, it's been 7-8 matches. Is that our seventh match?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're this isn't one a small sample size anymore. He has been consistent. He hasn't been injured. He has been doing the best he can possibly do with the service he's been received. It's been everything else. It's been the quality of the midfield and the lack of like downfield, you know, tilted to the offensive side. Like we haven't been seeing that until this match.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the release valve that the everyone else needed. Jordan looked so loose with his little back, his little back heel thing.
Like, yeah,
it had a little not ping pong, but what do you call it?
Yeah, it bounced off the defender, the bar game, goalie. But yeah,
what's the bar game?
Ricochet. Oh,
no, what's the bar game?
When you slide the pucks, what are we talking
pinball
about?
Pinball. My God, oh, brain pinball. Fart.
Yeah, a pinball. You're right. I love pinball. Go down to Shorty's if you're in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. It was so much fun. And let's not forget about the fact that we were in 14th and last place going into that game. And now we're only in 12th with our next opponent right below us. But we are 4 points out of the playoffs with a game in hand. So for all that horribleness starting the season in our first – we played 6 games. The seventh, it was canceled, right, because it was the Philadelphia one.
Oh, that's right.
Or yeah. Rescheduled, I should say. It's coming, I think, May, they said, May 30th, or maybe it was April 30th, somewhere in there. Somewhere in that month period, you'll find it.
I think April 30th, because if you look at the schedule right now, it has Philly – between 4:27 DC and 5:05 LA, it has in between ABAN, which I don't know what that stands for other than abandoned, Philly versus Seattle. What does ABAN stand for?
Probably just something about
instead
it
of the date. It says ABAN.
Huh. Abandoned. That means that match was abandoned.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, that's what that means. But they're bringing it back, obviously. We've rescheduled that match. And, you know, we are 8 points behind Vancouver, but we play them twice. So you win those two games, you're only 2 points out of behind the first place team. Obviously, we need other things to grow away. The Sounders have plenty they can do here, right? I told
Vancouver's
everyone.
Vancouver's number one right now. Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. And they've been good. Largest goal differential, 8 in the West. You know, most of San Jose is -7. Dallas is -4. We're 2, sitting in 12th. That because that 5 goals really helps. But we have the same goal differential as Sporting KC in 7th and Minnesota in 4th. So we can make a run here, right? We're playing FC Dallas, who's below us. Philadelphia is in 2nd place in the West. Or in the East, excuse me. Actually, the highest goal differential in the East is 5. So Vancouver has the highest goal differential in the league
They're the best club in the league. Look at them. They have the most goals scored, tied for with LA Galaxy, which is also kind of weird.
They're a point behind Red Bulls.
Goals against, tied.
Yeah. They're a point behind Red Bulls for the supporter shield, but they played one less game. So they, on points per game, are leading the supporter shield race right now. That's wild.
You know what? As long as it's not Portland, I mean, if it has honestly, to be one or two,
I don't like Vancouver.
We like Vancouver.
Yeah, they're nice. They're nice, weird people who are like, they're like odd Americans who come down and enjoy our Seahawks games. Now, I dislike them when they come down for Blue Jays games. I'm like, you're an hour and a half away from us. Why are you rooting for a baseball team that you hate every other team from Toronto? And also, Toronto Blue Jays fans are the most obnoxious fans in baseball. If you've ever been to one of those games, it is the drunkest, messiest baseball game I've ever seen.
It's like they're Brits on a stag.
Yeah. No, that's a really great description. It is wild. And I don't feel like we get that because, I mean, we West Coast, we're not traveling the amount of people to allow that to happen, right? And season ticket holders aren't selling their tickets for the Sounders. But we did see like 3,500 travel for Cincinnati, Columbus. Like that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Have I ever told you about my Vancouver story when I went up there?
I don't believe so.
It's not like a great story or anything like that, but Vancouver people just remind me of like Seattleites if we had free healthcare.
Yeah.
You know? Like there's a general like sense of ease about them. But they're still a passive-aggressive kind of community. Mm. But I went with now my wife, Randy. This is 2012, I think we went up. And we lost. And leaving the stadium, I'm, of course, drunk. And Randy's indifferent to everything other than just like, I'm glad to be on vacation. She's from the East Coast. She's like never been out here to Seattle in general, let alone Vancouver. So she was just enjoying herself, and it's a beautiful day. Beautiful day. I think it was 75 degrees, sunny. If it's not Seattle, it's Vancouver as the most beautiful place to be when it's 75 degrees and sunny. And we're leaving, and a Vancouver fan just comes up, gives me a little like elbow bump, be like, hey, great match. We actually love you guys, kind of like these things. And it's like we hate Portland. Yeah. You know, the whole like put them in the middle and them on top, or you in the middle, them on top kind of thing, or whatever, you know, the chant. And he's like, hey, do you want a joint to like ease the pain? And at first I'm like, is this fucking thing laced? Are you gonna like, what's going on? So I'm like, you mind lighting it? Because I thought it might be fucking laced. So he lights it and puffs, hands it over to me and says, peace be with you, my friend. And I'm just gone, walking down. I'm like, the only bad time I had in this city on this trip was the Sounders losing. Everything else has been positive.
Yeah, I mean, it's different, right?
Rocks thrown at me as soon as I leave the stadium, regardless of outcome. So
people put rocks in my mom's car.
Cheers to Vancouver. We'll catch up to you. We'll beat you. But enjoy the ride.
Yeah. I've been there quite a few times, only I think twice to the new/old stadium. But my favorite experience was in the Empire Stadium Empire when Field. They had the Empire Field. Yeah, when they had the makeshift field. And I went up for a game, and I had gotten my tickets to Grill FC, and we had really great seats for whatever reason, because we were sitting like in front of ECS and like way in the section below. And for whatever reason, Kevin Zelko had mailed, who ran Grill FC at the time, founder, had mailed my tickets to us, even though we had selected, we're going to pick them up there. So we got up there and we didn't have tickets to the game. And Paul Cox, who was high up in ECS at the time, president of the Alliance Council at the time, hooked it up, gave me a couple of extra tickets he had. And we went in and we sat next to Kevin on the left side, which apparently were Vancouver season ticket holders. We were supposed to be sitting on the right side. That guy kicked us out. He was later really drunk and tore down the Gorilla FC banner that Vancouver let us put up in one of their sections, which is funny that they let us do that. That's how nice the team. Oh, go ahead, put up your supporter banner in front of season ticket holders. We went up and sat with ECS. They kept screaming at ECS members, do this, do that. And we were like confused. So we just went and sat where our tickets said to sit, and all the way around on the other side of the stadium. Me and Sam Chesno get there, sit down. We're the only Sounders fans in a section full of Vancouver fans. And they chanted, "We have healthcare," at us. And so I just turned around and started bowing at them. And then they all liked me after that, because I acknowledged that. The women loved, the men did not, my chant where I said, "We're going to take your Canadian women. We're going to make them U.S. citizens." But it was some good natured ribbing back and forth, and it was super fun. And the Sounders came back and won it at the end, won the Cascadia Cup, and then all the supporters carried that cup up to Arlo White live on TV as he did the postgame show. It was super awesome.
Well, I was at that match, and it was a little bit different for me and Randy. We had a father and his daughter in front of us, and what they said after they won was, the little girl said, "Maybe next year we'll win the trophy." And that's like the only memory my wife has of any Sounders match. It was like how adorable that little girl was.
Yeah, what a cute little Canadian. So, she has free health care. Yeah, so, you know, of course she's adorable.
You want to steal women, and we stole the trophy.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, Montreal, that was fantastic. Canadian team. That was a fantastic match. I feel like that's a kind of a match that we need the Mariners to kind of have. It's like, I feel like that's a good team and just is in a bad spot right now. But baseball is like a completely different game, literally and pitching, figuratively.
Yeah. We need Castillo to show up and change the game.
We need nearly all of them in defense and hitting. Yes, yes, yes. However, in terms of the Sounders, it seems like we've put it all in. We figured it out. Against not a bad opponent. I don't think Montreal's bad, right? They're not great. They're not the worst. But that was a opponent that we clearly took. We punched them. We knocked them out.
Yep.
That was is like, we're done. We're not fucking around here. We're going to knock you out. Which is another thing. We should have done this in Scuttlebutt, but that punch.
Oh,
that is this assault?
Yeah. Yeah, if you had
your lawyer, was that assault?
I did it go above and beyond the. Well, let's back up. There's a video of a guy who kicks the ball. Ooh, Coors Light. A guy who kicks a ball at the feet of a player who's on the ground, not very hard, just kind of taps it at him, and the guy stands up, runs at full speed, and shoves him over from behind, or not over, I guess, just forward. And that the guy who got shoved turned around and just punches him in the face. And a brawl ensues. And I think it goes above and beyond the rules of the game. So is it assault? Yes. I got a little criticism for this, though, from randos on the internet. But I'm like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. If you shove me from behind like that, my first reaction is – because it's basically like a sucker punch from behind – is going to turn around and swing. I think he they're just athletes, and so for him, it lands, and the dude goes crumpling down. My initial reaction was like, get him.
He went down. He went down. Oh, dude was also a foot taller than the guy.
Yeah. No, I mean.
Like, and he just stood there after he shoved him, and was just asking for it.
Yeah, it has no place.
So, my first reaction is, I fouled you. You got the foul called on you. You got it. I'm probably getting a yellow card.
and then you shove me blindly from behind, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to sock you.
Yeah.
That, and I deserve to get red card and sent out.
And banned like, for some that's games.
Totally uncalled for.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's against
the I'm not
rules.
Going to prison for it.
I don't think he'll be charged with assault because it was within the realm of the game and there's stuff that happens in games all the time that could be assault. Like what happened to Steve Zakuani could have been considered assault. He deliberately went in studs up to take out his legs. But yeah, I don't think they'll charge him with it, but yeah, it was assault. I also think that if you do something like that, you should expect retaliation, whether or not it's within the realm of what is acceptable in the game. Because pushing isn't acceptable in the game either. That's a foul.
Yeah, it's a foul. Anyway, that was a tangent.
It's on the Discord. Go watch it. It's a pretty wild video.
All right, so anyway, back to Sounders stuff. We are about to play Dallas. They are right there with us. You mentioned just below us in the table. We are going to Dallas, so we won't have the fans at home helping spur 5 goals, but they'll still have me at home with 4K. I cannot, especially after that, right? I cannot fathom a loss or a draw here. This is a win. Everyone is even healthier than they were a week ago. We're closing in on De La Vega deadline. I don't know. That's got to be a week or two away, right? It was shit early March when we got the 6 to 8 weeks. But, I mean, roll out the same lineup, please. I'm happy with it. And then JP is in full training this week. If it's the same lineup, I don't want JP come. I don't want him to start. 5 goals, 3 of which maybe 4 without him on the pitch. I don't remember the timeline. I can look it up, but I don't care. We had the game in hand before he needed to be on the field, which is ideal for that substitution. Give him some minutes, no injury, fantastic. Let's do that one more time for him, so he's another week of training, and then we'll have a better 11 for the next week. I think this should be an easy 2-0, 3-1 win, in my opinion.
I'm going 3-1. You hit it on the nail on the head.
Shit, are we gonna be geniuses again, Cameron?
I hope so.
All right, Rui Diaz. I love that he's feeling great. I want to see him subbed out though. I like us to be in a position where he can get subbed out. Because he's pretty much been playing full 90, and we are still concerned about his availability, right? Like I don't want to see an Instagram photo of his ankle on a plane anytime soon. So let's get a goal, maybe another Panenka penalty kick, maybe another Golazo, MLS goal of the week. 45 minutes goes by, he gets a halftime break, plays for 10 minutes. Come on out. Mazowski comes in. Let's go. Let's roll it out. Let's feel comfortable about this trip to Dallas. I'm comfortable in my trip to Dallas. I've had a successful trip. Let's hope the Sounders do as well in a couple days. And damn, I missed them by a couple days. That fucking sucks. But all right, yeah. 3-1 win. Sounders, you agree?
Yep, I'm with you. Let's do it, and let's get these points.
All right, let's bring it into port. We'll bring our favorite English accent into the podcast. James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally under
best MMS team of all time.